Well, let's get right into it. I want to begin this morning by telling you a story from my childhood. When I was a child, our family lived on 40 acres of land just outside of the town of Swan River, Manitoba. It was a fantastic property. It was about a quarter of a mile off of the main road, and we had this gravel lane that led from the main road to our house. And on both sides of the lane, there were trees, a shelter belt that sort of guarded the road. And our house was on a bit of a hill overlooking a creek. And we had a big garden that we had planted. And from this perch, you could see some amazing sunsets in the evening. And oftentimes when it was dark, we'd kind of sit on the hill outside of our house and watch the northern lights. They were spectacular as they danced in the sky. And it was also a great place to watch and view some of the great summer storms that would happen. And I remember on one particular day, I was outside with our whole family, and in my memory, there were others that were there. I don't know if we had some friends over or what, but I remember just standing outside on the hill and all of a sudden, in the distance, there was this massive cloud that began to form. It was a cloud, and the sky was doing things that we had never seen before. And we were watching this, and at first, it was just amazing. And my mom, who many of you know, who's such a godly woman, immediately as she begins to see this cloud and see what was happening in the horizon, she literally begins to praise God. And she's thanking God for his incredible handiwork, declaring the heavens declare the glory of God, as David wrote in the Psalms. And she was saying, Dave, that's my father. Dave, this is so beautiful. This is spectacular. But my father wasn't nearly as overwhelmed with the beauty of God's creation, however. And as my mom was expressing her gratitude, my father was saying, I don't know, Linda, I don't like the looks of that cloud. And when he said those words, I remember immediately I had some fear that was coming up on the inside. My mom scoffed, Dave, it's just the handiwork of God. It's beautiful. It's amazing. The heavens declare the glory of God. But my dad kept saying, I don't know, Linda, I don't like the looks of that cloud. And the longer we watched, and the closer it became, the more intimidating it became. And pretty soon we began to realize that this is a massive tornado cloud that was approaching. I'll never forget it. I've never seen anything like it live since. At that moment, I was absolutely terrified. As we began to realize what was coming our way, there was this terror that was rising up on the inside. And I remember trying to get my family to go inside. I wanted to get in the house because I felt like if we were in the house, we would be safe. And at first, no one seemed to move. Everyone was just sort of watching this thing. I mean, it was something we'd never seen before. And we watched as this massive cloud, literally, it was like it came right down the lane towards our house with the trees on each side. And it was like a lawnmower that came across those trees. And I remember the tops just began to snap and break as this cloud moved towards us. I think as we saw these trees beginning to snap, at that point, we went into the house. And we began to watch from the windows. But even though we were indoors, I didn't feel safe. And I remember that I was urging my father, and I was standing beside him because I felt, of course, more protected beside my dad. And I remember trying to urge him, Dad, we need to get into the basement, because I knew when there was a tornado, you needed to get into the basement. But he wanted to watch it out the window. I think the rest of our family had headed downstairs into the basement, but my dad was watching, and I was standing beside Dad going, come on, Dad, we got to go downstairs. And finally, when the shingles started to blow off the roof, I think that's when I headed down. I can't remember if my dad ever did go. And I don't remember how long it lasted. I just remember feeling very scared. And I remember wondering, I wonder if this building can handle this storm, because the house was shaking under the force of this tornado. And even though I was standing next to my dad, I didn't feel safe when everything was shaking. It was such a helpless feeling. In the end, apart from some of the shingles blowing off the roof and a lot of broken trees, we escaped relatively unscathed. Some of the farmyards around us weren't so fortunate. And normally, as I mentioned, I always felt safe around my dad. And I always felt safe inside the house. But when this storm hit, I realized even my dad's arms and even the walls of the house were no match for a tornado. I needed something stronger to hold on to. You know, 2 weeks ago, I had no idea that we would be canceling services and isolating ourselves in our homes. At this time, I was supposed to be on an airplane to Pakistan. These are unprecedented times. These are times with a great deal of uncertainty. And we have many questions at this time, but relatively few answers. And so this is very unsettling. And it can bring with it a lot of fear. I would say this is a time of shaking for everyone. The winds of adversity are blowing upon us. And when the winds blow, the question becomes, do I have something that I can hold on to? Do I have a firm foundation that I can stand on that will keep me secure when the storm is raging around me? You know, in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, Solomon, who many consider to be the wisest man who ever lived, this is the way the Bible describes him. He said these words. He said, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? You see, there is something about the storms of life that reveal your strength. They reveal what kind of foundation is your life actually built upon. You see, there are many people in panic around the world today, and they are consumed with fear. Why? I want to suggest to you that in these winds of adversity, they have discovered that they have nothing to hold on to. They have not built their lives on a sure foundation. Jesus talked about this very thing in one of his parables. In Matthew chapter 7, at the end of perhaps Jesus' most famous sermon, it's what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said these words. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. In these unprecedented times, people, I believe, are discovering just how fragile their lives really are. I think many are shaking because what they've been holding on to is also shaking. Many have had their security in their pension plans, in their jobs, the abundance around them, in medicine, etc. But now suddenly all these things are shaking. One person apparently gets sick in China, and in a matter of weeks, no one is safe. A virus, a germ, has shut down the world as we know it. People are hiding in their homes. Businesses are closing. The economy is tanking, and no one knows how's this going to end. We don't know. Are you shaking? Today I want to talk to you about being unshakable. You see, in this parable that Jesus told, he shows us that some collapse when the storms of adversity blow, but there are others who stand strong. Some shake when everything around them shakes, but there are others who are unshakable. Jesus said that those who listen to him, that those who follow him, are those who are unshakable. To them, he becomes a rock of stability, a rock of strength. And when you read the scriptures are full of examples of men and women who faced storms and yet were unshakable. Why? I'll tell you why. Their lives were cemented in something that was greater than their surrounding circumstances. Their lives were built on the one who is unshakable, who never changes. Their lives were built on the living God. And David was such a man. David is one of the most famous characters in the Bible. He was a king. He wrote many of the Psalms. He was the one who killed Goliath. You've heard of him. And David was a man who faced many storms in his life. He had many enemies. He had many who were seeking to kill him. And he had many days of despair, and he wrote about them very vulnerably all through the Psalms. But David, in his despair, knew where to go. David had something to hold on to that made David unshakable. Listen to these words that he wrote in Psalm chapter 61. Oh God, listen to my cry, exclamation point. Hear my prayer. He's crying out to God. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. There was this cry in David. His heart was overwhelmed. But when his heart was overwhelmed, he knew where to go. He went to the towering rock of safety. That's how he described it. He knew where to go to. He had something to hang on to. He said in Psalm 62, let all that I am wait quietly before God. For my hope is in him. He alone is my rock. He alone is my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He's my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. And then he says these words, oh my people. If David were speaking to us today, if it was him preaching from this pulpit, this is what he would be saying to you. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Notice that it says, wait quietly before God. There was a peace inside of his heart. He said, he alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. David wasn't shaking. Why? Because his life was built on the towering rock of safety that was unreachable by anything or anyone who came against him. All through Scripture, God is referred to as a rock. He's called the rock of our salvation. Is your life built upon him? What has this storm revealed about your foundation? What has the storm revealed about what you're hanging on to? In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. He said, let nothing move you. If you're a follower of Christ today, I want to challenge you with these words. Stand firm. Don't let anything move you. Don't let the winds of adversity move you off the rock. Hang on to him. Trust the Lord, and you will stand strong. Keep your eyes on him. You see, often when the storm hits, our attention gets diverted. Our attention gets moved from our refuge and strength, and we begin to slip off the rock. And that's when we begin to drown in the storm. It happened to Peter, one of the famous disciples of Jesus. Peter is perhaps the most famous for walking on water one day at the invitation of Jesus. Jesus was walking on the water. He came to the disciples in the middle of a storm. They were terrified. Peter sees Jesus on the water. He says, "Hey, Jesus, can I come?" Jesus says, "Come on, Peter." Oh, Peter goes, and he's doing well. But then his eyes turned from Jesus, and he began to look at the waves. He began to feel the wind, and he began to see the waves surging under the wind and the storm. And at that moment, he began to sink. It tells us in Matthew 14, 31, that immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I mean, that's how close he was to Jesus. And Jesus said these words to him, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" You know, the root meaning of this word doubt means this, to look two ways at once. You see, Peter had one eye on the Lord, and he had one eye on the storm. And as a result, he lost his footing. I heard someone say this one time, and I've never forgot it. Do not doubt in the dark what you knew to be true in the light. You see, we have an enemy of our souls who likes to whisper in the dark times of our lives. He loves to come in times of storm, and he wants to move you from your place of safety by taking your eyes off of the one who gives you strength. Don't listen to his lies of fear. Don't get consumed with the waves. Run to the rock. Stand on Christ. Keep your eyes on him. And this morning, in the time that I have remaining, I want to give you some reasons today why Christ is such a sure foundation. Why he is such a firm foundation in the storms of our lives. I'm not just talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about any storms that we're facing today. I know as you're watching this morning that many of you have all sorts of storms that are happening in your life. But here is why Christ is such a firm foundation. Number one, because nothing can separate us from his love. Paul wrote these incredible words to the Romans. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" He's asking this question. Can any of these things separate me from the love of Christ? "As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, Paul says. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Those are incredible words of hope. Christ is a firm foundation because there is nothing more sure, there is nothing stronger in all the universe than the love that Christ has for us. We live in a world that's broken. There are all sorts of hardships and pains and struggles. Jesus told us that in this world that we would have troubles. But the good news is that during our troubles, we have a God who loves us. When we have that assurance, I tell you, nothing else really matters. If we know He loves us, we can rise above, or we can conquer all things. We can become, as Paul said, we are more than conquerors. You see, often when trouble comes, the enemy whispers these words. He tells us that God doesn't love us. He says, how could a loving God allow this kind of stuff to happen? And those are tough questions. And for some, those questions take their eyes off of the truth. But what is the truth? The truth is that the sin of man and his rejection of God has resulted in the brokenness we see in our world. But the good news of the gospel is that God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save us out of our brokenness, to save us from our sin. He joined us in our suffering. He didn't remain distant. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He identified with us in our pain. He gave His life to redeem us and to give us hope that goes beyond the grave. And we can have complete assurance of His love. How do you know how much He loves you? You can have complete assurance of His love because of what it cost Him to come and save us. You know, sometimes when we screw up really bad, the devil also whispers that we are not worthy. That God is angry with us. That we got to hide from God. I tell you, it's not true. The scripture says, we just read it, nothing in all creation can ever separate us from His love. The scripture says that His mercy is new every morning. That means His mercy never, ever runs out. There is nothing as sure as the mercy of God. 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear. Because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. If you've known Christ today and are fearing punishment, then you haven't fully understood or experienced His love. I tell you, the devil is trying to push you off your rock. If your Father in heaven loves you, then no matter what happens, there is nothing to fear. If your Father in heaven loves you, then even in your mess, He is right there beside you. He never gives up on you. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, there is nothing that can stand between Him and His love for you. When you live in that reality, I tell you what happens. Your feet will be on a sure foundation. And you will become unshakable. The second reason why Christ is such a firm foundation is that because of His victory, circumstances now become irrelevant. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that you can have peace because of Me. In this world, you will have trouble. See, Jesus promised us trouble. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be encouraged, He says, exclamation point. I have won the battle over the world. As I said earlier, Jesus never promised a world without trouble, but He did do something that gives tremendous peace in the middle of the greatest storms. This is what He did. He won the battle over the world. Because of the sin of man, the world has been in pain. The world has been in the grips of the devil. His evil kingdom of darkness rages. It's evident all around us. He prowls around, the scripture says, like a lion looking for someone to devour. But on the cross, the battle for the world was won by Jesus Christ. Paul describes this incredible moment to the Colossians in verse 15 of chapter 2. He says, and he's talking about Jesus, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see, the cross was a complete victory over the devil. Sin was defeated. Salvation was secured. Relationship with God was restored. Eternity and heaven was assured for all who would place their trust in Jesus. For those who have this understanding, even death is no longer something to fear. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank God, Paul says. We have victory over sin and death because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so now, for those who know Jesus, we say, as Paul did, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. When we have this understanding, circumstances become irrelevant. Why? Because we see our time on earth as but a blip in eternity. We no longer see this world as our home. I tell you, this was the perspective of all the heroes of the faith described in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is like the Bible's Hall of Fame. It describes men and women who stood strong through all sorts of trials and tests and did amazing things because they were looking beyond this life into the next. Hebrews 11 says this: all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place. A heavenly homeland. And that is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You see, when you live with this perspective, you can endure anything. Paul was a man who went through incredible suffering in his life, and yet he said these words to the Corinthians, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles." If you knew Paul's troubles, that sounds ridiculous. But that's the way he saw them. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, Paul got stronger every day in the midst of pain. He said, every day I'm being renewed on the inside. He got stronger as he stayed firm on the hope and victory that Jesus had promised. The hope of an eternal glory that far outweighed anything this world has to offer. Because of that perspective, Paul lived a fearless life. He wasn't afraid of the big bad devil. He had the authority of Christ that was won for him on the cross. And he had the assurance that even death was a victory. And every trial paled in comparison to the eternal glory to come. And because of these things, Paul was unshakable. My third and final reason this morning why Christ is such a sure foundation is that he is always present. He's always present. Psalm 46 verse 1 says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. He's ever-present. Hebrews 13 says, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? You know, one time, I love this story. I've said this many times in sermons. One time when the nation of Israel was in real trouble, because they had rejected God, they became convinced that God had abandoned them because their city had been overrun, the walls of Jerusalem were in shambles, and they were convinced that God had abandoned them and forgotten them. They thought there was no hope. This is how Isaiah the prophet describes it. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Maybe as you're watching this morning, this is how you feel. As you're caught in the middle of the storms of life, there's this feeling, God, you've forgotten me, you've abandoned me. But listen to how God replies to them. Never! Exclamation point. He says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child that she has born? Jesus, or God, is making an illustration of a mother with a child, and he's saying there's no love greater than a mother for her child. Israel was like a child to God. But God says, even if that was possible, even if a mother could forget her child, I would never forget you. And then I love these words. He says, see, I've written your name on the palm of my hands. And then he says, always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. He said, I can't get your situation off my mind. It's always on my mind. Whenever I read these words, I think of some times in my life where my wife has called me maybe and said, Joel, you need to make sure you bring milk home today because there's no milk for cereal in the morning. And I have a bad memory. And so I'll get my pen out because I know if I come home with no milk, the kids are going to be upset. And Angela's going to say, I even phoned you and told you. And so I'll write down on my hand, pick up milk. Because you're always looking at your hand throughout the day and it reminds you. And Jesus says to us, I have written your name on the palm of my hand. I'll never forget you. But you know, sometimes my hands get sweaty as the day goes on and that ink begins to run. And at the end of the day, I'll look at my palm and say, what was I supposed to get again? I can't remember. But there's another translation that puts it this way. See, I have engraved your name on the palm of my hands. I tell you, God has a picture of the ruins of your life constantly in his mind. He has your name engraved on the palm of his hand. He will never forget you. He will never abandon you. He's near. He's a present help in a time of trouble. That is a rock that we can stand on. Call on him, my friends. He is near, the scripture says. So let me conclude by asking you this question. What are you standing on today? What are you standing on? If you're not on the rock, you'll be anxious. You'll be afraid. You'll be consumed with all the circumstances. You'll be glued to your television set. You'll be hoarding instead of helping. You'll have no peace. But when your life has Christ as a firm foundation, I'll tell you what happens. You'll begin to give thanks in everything. Nothing will be able to stop your generosity. Nothing will be able to keep you from shining. You will become steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as the scripture says. You know, when someone is in a deep sleep, sometimes you have to shake them to wake them up. Can I suggest to you that if Christ is not your foundation, that a little shaking in your life is a good thing. Sometimes a little shaking reminds us A little shaking shows us just how much we need him. Sometimes a little shaking shows us if we have slid off the rock that at one time we were standing on. Maybe as you're listening this morning, you realize that you've never been on the rock. You've never had Christ as your foundation. You've never known Jesus as your Savior. And you've been putting your trust in temporary things that can be taken away from you. And today, you're shaking. If so, then it's time to wake up. It's time to realize that you have built your house on sinking sand. You know, most of our society is consumed with materialism. It's consumed with this pursuit of happiness. In North America, we have it so comfortable almost all the time that we don't think we need God. Can I tell you that if that has been your thinking, then being shaken is a good thing. You need to wake up. You need him. This life is fragile. This life is but a blip in eternity. The next second is not guaranteed. And if you don't have Christ, I'm going to tell you something. You are lost in the storm and you don't have an anchor. And one day, the Bible says, we are all going to stand before the living God. And we're going to give an account for our lives. And I tell you, at that point, all your money, all your toys, it's not going to mean anything. It'll mean nothing. Your earthly accomplishments are going to have zero value. Zero. It's not going to matter. And there are many in our world today as well that are putting their hopes in their own goodness. I'm a good person. It's all that matters. When I stand before God one day, I'm going to tell him how good I've been. If that's what you've been leaning on, if that's your rock, I'm telling you, you're standing on sinking sand. It's not going to hold up. You see, the Bible says there is not one who is good. Not even one. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we need a Savior. And there is only one who can save, and his name is Jesus. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the rock of our salvation. And you must put your full weight upon him today. You must climb onto that rock. Salvation is found in him and him alone. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He said, I'm the only way. There is no other way. There is no other name, the Bible says, under the heavens by which man can be saved. There is no other rock. But the good news of the gospel is that when you fall on your knees before him, when you realize that you are in the ocean without an anchor, drowning, the good news of the gospel is that if you confess your sins and place your trust in Jesus, you will be saved. He will throw you a lifeline. If you'll confess your sin before the Father and place your trust in him, at that moment, your eternity becomes secured. Your relationship with God becomes restored. You become hidden in the arms of the Father forever, and you become unshakable. The Bible says you receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so today, if you're watching in your homes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray with me to receive Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. And just wherever you're watching, whether it's on your couch in the living room or at the kitchen table, wherever you're watching, I want you to just close your eyes with me. And I want you to just talk to God. As I'm talking to God, make my prayer your prayer. God will see you. He'll see right into your situation, right into your heart. He can see. He knows your heart. And as you pray these words, I would encourage you, if you're comfortable, even pray them out loud. But pray these words in your heart. And if you'll make Jesus your Savior, you'll have a rock that you can always stand on. Let me pray with you. Jesus, I come before you today, and I realize that I've been trusting and putting my weight in all sorts of things that are nothing but sinking sand. And Lord, I confess that in this time of shaking, I've realized I don't have anything to hang on to, not really. I realize today that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. But Jesus, I thank you that when I was drowning, you came to save me. When I was drowning, you came as a lifeline to me. I thank you, Jesus, that your blood has washed. The blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary has washed all my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that you stood in my place and took the punishment that I should have faced. I thank you, Jesus, that on that cross, a great exchange took place. You took all my sin and you made available to me your righteousness. And so today I receive it by faith. I trust you. I place my faith upon what you've done, my full weight upon you, Jesus, the rock of my salvation. Forgive me for my sin and be my Savior and be my Lord. Today I choose to stand, to build my life upon you, my God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.